Joining us right now is our Democrat of the day, Senate District 29, which is just out to the west here of the metro area. As a matter of fact, my kids are playing the sports conference my kids play against. It's got Buffalo in it. So that's one of the towns there. Delano, Buffalo, Montrose, Howard Lake, Maple Lake, Monticello. They're all in Senate District 29. Chris Brazelton is kind enough to join us. She is the DFL endorsed candidate, Democrat of the day for today on your Wednesday. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I like your district a lot. I go apple picking down in Montrose. There's a really good apple orchard over there that's in your district. I've been up to Maple Lake. I love it. Some really nice lakes there. I've had friends, longtime family friends in Buffalo. There's a lot of cute in your district out there.
There is. We are brimming with cute.
Since you are close here, I mean, a lot of people know, of the cities I just mentioned here. Why don't you give us a little bit more about yourself? Who exactly is Chris Brazelton?
Well, I live in Delano, which is just over the border. I'm about six blocks over the Hennepin County border into Wright County. I am married. My husband and I have grown children, 11 grandchildren and probably counting. Mm-hmm. And I am a child support officer with Hennepin County. My grandfather served in the legislature for 20 years, and they were the proudest times of his life. So it's something that if he had lived to see this, he would be very proud if I were able to follow in his footsteps.
Oh, that's wonderful, by the way. And yeah, was he out in that area, the Delano area?
No, actually, he represented Northeast Minneapolis from the mid-30s to the mid-50s.
That's very cool. That's wonderful. I do love it when we get some of the legacy candidates here because, you know, obviously for you, I'm going to presume there's a lot of impression that you got there and you see the value in trying to serve the people of your community.
Absolutely. And public service is something that has always been very important to me. I've been an advocate in the domestic violence prevention field. I've worked in children's mental health. As I said, I've been a child support officer for many years. So I don't think I was put on this planet to line my pockets. While I certainly want to live as comfortably as anybody else, I really do believe we're here to leave the world a better place, and we found it.
Okay, so obviously a legacy impact here on your decision to run for Senate District 29. Was there any other, and you also have some really great ideals that you've expressed. Were there any other ideas that came up that you say, you know what, 29, it's my time. I'm going to run for Senate here.
Well, and actually I did run in 2020, so this mm-hmm. isn't a first for me. I received a phone call about an hour before the filing deadline in 2020. The person who had intended to run hadn't followed through, didn't sign up, and wasn't answering his phone. And I got a frantic call saying, we really need a candidate. Would you please consider running? So I did run in 2020, a very short campaign against the same incumbent. And so this isn't a first for me, but I've certainly had some time to get a little bit more experience in the process.
And let's talk about the district. How much did the district change with the redistricting they just did?
Well, we lost part of we lost Rockford Township, so some of the northeast side of Wright County has moved off into Senate District 30, and we picked up a couple areas in Meeker County, so it's shifted just a little bit further to the west.
But
we still have Delano and Buffalo and Monticello and some of those same cities that you mentioned are still part of the district.
Well, and it should be mentioned, too. I mean, the metro area is growing. I know a lot of people in it because it's cute. I mean, Delano's cute. Rockford's cute. Montrose is cute. Buffalo cute. There are a lot of people that are moving out there. It is becoming, you're starting to see a population growth out there because people are saying, you know, well, I work on the west side, so I can move further out. And they're taking advantage of the district. You are seeing that growth out there.
Absolutely. And now since COVID, there's another move of people that don't need to go in and maybe don't need to commute downtown at all that are able to work from home, which brings us to one of the big issues is broadband internet. We really need access to it, not just here in just west of the cities, but all over the state. There are so many people that could, you know, economies in these small towns that can do so much better if they have access to internet so people can work from home and farmers can run their farms as they do now on the internet. Kids can do homework. But just like rural electrification 100 years ago, you know, some of the conservatives saying, oh, we can't afford to do this. Well, we can't afford not to.
Well, let's be honest. They're saying it can happen in the wealthier neighborhoods, but overall it doesn't. And you just said it. I mean, we just had 2 years of showing why broadband is so important. Education, healthcare, just the quality of life. You need to have that there, and it just shouldn't be for the wealthy neighborhoods in any given community. You need to have it everywhere, and because, like you said, it's clearly, and I think the comparison to when they expanded electricity across the country, it's spot on. It is the way modern business, modern culture, modern education, modern healthcare, they're all done via broadband, and if we don't have that, then we're failing our people.
Oh, absolutely. I have nieces and nephews that went to school in a small town in northern Minnesota, and you can't possibly bring in and have classes in Mandarin Chinese and all. There's so many different things that in order to be competitive in the business world, kids need access to these high-level classes. But in these small rural schools, there's just no way you can have teachers that can teach all this stuff. So you've got to bring them in through the internet. Just make it cost effective. So again, it's going to be saving us so much money and making us more competitive if everyone has access to that high quality education that you can get by bringing in experts from further away via the internet.
What are some of the other issues that you're looking to champion for Senate District 29?
Well, childcare is huge.
Yes.
I mean, the costs have just skyrocketed, and I absolutely believe that child care workers deserve a living wage. So, you know, we want all of our workers to be able to do well, and yet so many of the employees who would need to use that child care end up spending their whole paychecks on child care now, if they can find one at all. So I think we really have to put more resources into subsidizing child care. You know, so many advanced countries around the globe have figured out how to do this, and I just can't believe we're as far behind as we are in providing access to quality child care and pre-K for our young people. And then all through beyond pre-K, you've got the need for quality education and fully fund our secondary education, primary and secondary education. And then we've got post-secondary. We've got kids who end up running up so much debt, they can't buy a house, they can't buy a car, they can't really participate in the economy. And so how do we expect our economy to grow when we start people off with such high debt?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just so on so many levels. And, you know, the infrastructure with, you know, just not just roads, bridges, but, you know, the transportation of the future, green energy. There's so many investments we need to make to be competitive on a global market. We just can't be afraid to make those investments, and now is a really good time with having some surplus to work with.
Chris Brazelton is joining us right now, Democrat of the Day, Senate District 29. I want to bring up two issues that are near and dear to 29. First of all, let's get into senior care, because one of the things that we found, I mean, we saw a lot of unfortunate gaps in our healthcare system that were exposed with the pandemic. One of the things that is a real problem is quality care for seniors, elder care in rural Minnesota. It doesn't seem to, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement to try to get this fixed. This is something, making sure that seniors are being taken care of in whatever capacity we need to in their later years. As you have aging communities, which are in Senate District 29, you need to make sure that's a priority.
Absolutely. Whether the seniors are able to stay in their homes longer with some extra help or having senior care assisted living available. I love some of the places. My own parents were in a place that had advancing levels of care available to them as they needed it. People want to stay in their homes, but the homes aren't necessarily remaining in good repair. So it becomes put so much pressure on seniors and their families to try to keep them, you know, safe and healthy and supported in those senior years. And many families to trying to make ends meet, you know, with both adults working in the family, it's very difficult to take in a senior member of the family without getting some extra support. But we seem to be so reluctant to look at the costs of doing that in an equitable way.
The other issue that's going to affect your district, and this is, I'm an old ag broadcast fan. I know that's kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. I love agricultural broadcasting, and because I can, you know, because for me, you see the need and how it represents community and helps out. So ag issues are important ones. Your margins are your standard farmer today are they're barely getting by. The farmer, them, their spouse, they're having to work out of the farm to get, you know, to just be able to afford health care. They got to work at some other company so they can get health care. Right. We need to make farms more affordable. And we also need, I think it's time for the state to step up and offer a farmer's health care program for state farmers that can basically be purchased by them so that they can work on the farm without having to go work another 8-hour job to basically be able to have health insurance.
Absolutely. Well, and we're all finding any small business, whether it's a family farm, which is probably one of the, you know, more or less business as far as employees, but any small business, you can't remain profitable or nimble in this economic environment unless, you know, with a really small risk pool. So, again, this is another thing other countries have figured out, how to have larger risk pools through universal and single-payer health care. But there's ways we can do this, and we have to take a look at those ways, build larger risk pools so that insurance coverage is affordable for the farmers, and not just for health care, but mental health care. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that we're seeing with, you know, the returning vets, with farmers who are isolated. There's just,
yes,
the mental health issues are becoming more visible in our society through so many sad ways. When we look at the suicides, when we look at, you know, people who are just falling apart in a very public way. But healthcare's got to cover that. It's got to be a holistic healthcare where all of the needs are being met. And this is something that we've waited far too long to have put in place so that people can get those needs taken care of. And again, that's the family farmers, that's the small business owners. You know, it's not something that makes sense to count on our employers to be the ones who provide those risk pools anymore.
You know, one of the things is you bring up mental health issues and farmers and stuff. And by the way, we should mention as well, the students who have been on pandemic that there as well, there's a growing mental health crisis there. But so I'm out in Buffalo. This was last year. I had a kid that had a sporting event when we first after Delta, and we opened things up saying, well, thank God this is over. Yeah. Funny story. Anyway, I was out in Buffalo. We were for a sporting event. I was there early. It was a gorgeous night. It was summer, you know, just the, you know, and you when you're getting out into rural Minnesota, it's just as beautiful as it gets with the sun setting, and you get the nice colors and the growing crops and everything. And I went down a road, and this scared me. I went down a road, I counted 7 farms and 6 for sale signs. And I said, mm-hmm. What in the world is going on? And I talked to some people out in rural Minnesota, and they said, pandemic bills, healthcare bills are wiping out people's families. They're wiping out people's savings. It's the margins are just not there. There is a large crisis going on right now in our ag sectors. And frankly, the Republican Party has no intention of trying to help those farmers out.
Yeah, I find it just incredibly short-sighted. You know, I've got families, you know, who are work for Cargill. We're a part of the Cargill family, actually, is a relative of ours. You know, I don't want our whole globe to turn into corporate farms, small family farms that can be nimble, that can have, you know, start looking at the ways in which we can stop leaking greenhouse gases into the environment. So, you know, with cover crops, you know, the smaller farms are able to do a lot more of that and care enough to do a lot more of that. But we're losing so many of them, as you said, that they just aren't able to make a living at this anymore.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, here's the point where I tell, okay, everyone, you're listening to me, right? It's not that far away. It's just down 55. You can go right out there. And it's cute too. Oh my. And there's an apple orchard south of Montrose. It's in her district. You can time it. You go do some door knocking for her this fall. Go pick some apples. You'll have a great time with this. We need to get the volunteers. Help your local DFLer. But if you're in a relatively safe district, you need to get out to 29, because that the dynamics of that district are changing now as the city grows. It's a district that we can definitely put a good, strong challenge up in, and I think that we can win, but we need to get the volunteers out there, and we need to get the donations to Chris Brazelton so that she can help get that DFL win for us in 29. So, Chris, if they want to find your website, where do they find where they can donate, where they can volunteer?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Well, my website is Brazelton, that's Brazelton, for MN Senate. And there's a donate link to Act Blue for donations on that website. I have a Facebook page, you know, Brazelton for MN Senate. So, you know, there's a lot of, it's easy to find me, and it's easy to find our district. Just come on out Highway 12. You get, you know, a little bit past Ridgedale, and, you know, you're out here, and my in-laws refer to this as, like, Delano is a Hallmark town. So it's a very nice people here, and it's a good district, but it does tend to lean Republican. So if we want to see a DFL win, we really could use the support.
You need, if you knock on every door, you're going to win that district, and that's what it comes down to. You knock on every door, and it's a cute, as she said, it's a Hallmark-esque. A lot of those towns are very adorable. If you haven't been out there, go out there, enjoy that. Volunteer, donate, help Chris Brazelton win in Senate District 29. Just out to the west, of the metro area. This is not a far drive. This is very attainable. We can help her win in 29. Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. It's so nice of you to have me on.
My pleasure. Chris Brazelton as Senate District 29, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.